Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry is here with me. And Harry, you're here because of the response we had to that discussion we had very recently on relationship breakup and how you recover and move on.
Yeah, and I have to say, Claire, could I first thank all the listeners who sent in all the questions? And say, it takes a lot of bravery, do you know what I mean? Courage to kind of put your head over the parchment and look for a bit of help. And, you know, I'd like to thank people for that. And the other thing I would say to people is, you know, writing things down is extraordinarily powerful. Just actually writing down the actual problem is the first step, I often feel, in solving the problem.
Well, you know, we wanted back in because of all those queries and questions we had coming in. So we're going to get through some of them, and we're inviting people to text us 51551 if you have any more. So let's start. My adult daughter, says this listener, broke up a long relationship with her fiancé 3 years ago. She came home to us and she's still not over it. She's sad and unhappy all the time. She's no social life because all of her friends are married with children now. She lies on her bed 7 nights a week. She's not interested in online dating. She's struggling. I just want her to be happy, and I'm at the end of the road trying to do that. It's also affecting me as her mam. So what do you say, Harry?
Well, I think the first thing to say is there's two people in trouble here. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's the girl and there's the mum. So I think this is very interesting because a phenomenon that I have been seeing, and I'd be very interested to see what listeners feel about this, is that there seems to be a lot of relationships that go on for too long. They kind of drift along. Very often in the 30s, that seems to be the critical.
Okay.
In like a late 20s up to late 30s. And then what happens is, as they get towards, you know, making decisions long term and all the rest of it, they eventually reach a crisis. And either there's an engagement that doesn't work out, or a marriage doesn't work out, or a relationship breaks down. Now, some of these amicably, I think it's important, just drift off, and that's fine. But it can be devastating. And that's the word I would use, devastating, for one or other party. And this girl strikes me as she was caught up in a devastating breakup where all her world was all organised.
The rest of her life was probably dependent on this thing lasting.
Yep. And then remember, this happened in the middle of the pandemic, which must have made it even worse. And she comes home, which is, in my opinion, not necessarily the best thing sometimes. So I would say there's something that bothered me here, that this girl was coming. I assume the girl is still working, but at night she's lying on her bed all the time. So that strikes me as going on for 3 years. This might be a little bit more than simply just normal, the grief and loss and sadness and hurt, etc. She might have slipped into a bit of clinical depression. Do you know what I mean? So the stress of the event might have triggered a little bit of depression, which she mightn't even recognise in herself. So I think that's a possibility that needs to be to be looked at. I would suggest very strongly to this mum that she gets together. She just mentioned the dad. I presume there's a dad here. The dads are always there somewhere in the background. Or maybe siblings or somebody that the girl gets on with. And a couple of you get together and sit down with this girl and try and have a really in-deep and empathetic conversation with her. Try to find out, where is she at? You know, what is the cause of her behaving the way she is? And through that, like, if she's feeling very down, she might need to go and chat to a GP, do you know what I mean, and go further. If she feels, I just can't accept the situation, I'm just grieving and sad and lonely, then I think a chat with a therapist at this stage would definitely be of help to help her to make the next move onwards. And I would also really say to the mum, listen, here's a great line for everybody. Up to the age of 18, you're a parent. After the age of 18, you're a mentor, which means advisor. So your job is to be there for her, to give her some advice, but not to live her life for her. So you have to start.
Well, it's hard now for her because she's under her roof, you know.
But but the mother herself is going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. So I think she has to try to make these moves, but then she herself has to detach a little bit and try and start living her own life a little bit, because otherwise we'll have two sick people in the house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she needs to look after herself.
So really, but I would honestly suggest that if she approaches it from that point of view, that the girl will hopefully respond. Emotional Healing might be a great book for the girl to read. Do you know what I mean? Because this girl needs healing. more than anything else.
Yes.
She needs healing. And to do that, we have to find out what's the source of her pain at the moment.
Now, I'm very clear on the source of the pain for our next listener, yep, who says, I'm struggling to accept my husband leaving myself and my three teenage children after 24 years together. There's no one else involved, but I'm so heartbroken.
And this, to me, is the classic. Do you remember the last day, Claire, I talked about that losing a relationship, a critical relationship in your life, is like a bereavement?
Yes.
And I said to you that as part of bereavement, and this lady is just a wonderful example, and what a lovely question she's put in for us, because she's experiencing the incredible sadness and the incredible loneliness and the incredible pain of losing that person out of your life. But there's something else going on here that she's also having to experience the other great dilemma that we experience in grief, which is change. So if you think about it, my whole life was all around my husband and everything he did and all the things we did together. And now I see only an empty space in front of me. Do you know what I mean? I have three children, which is obviously going to give her, you know, a great focus to continue on. So what I would say to this lady, I can't help you with the sadness and grief, but I will say to you that if you keep going, that'll gradually improve. Do you know what I mean? Over time, you learn how to adjust to the sadness and grief. You never stop being sad, but you learn how to manage it. You learn how to cope with it. But what I would really suggest is that you focus on the change bit. In other words, I think you need to get out there and start widening your social circle. You know, don't be afraid to look for help. This is a time when you put up your hand and say, I'm struggling. So, you know, go to your family members, go to your siblings, go to your good friends. Try and maybe meet up with other women who are in similar situations. You know, go looking
for groups
and things
like that. You see, that might be the last thing that she wants to do. You know, getting out and doing things that are different from
her
previous
routine.
But does she have to force herself?
Yes. I think the answer is, because if you don't, do you know, like I love Christy Keneally, and you know, if there's the most beautiful lines that were ever written, when he talked about the death of a child to suicide and the parents, because I've done some work with parents in this, it's that sometimes we have to scrabble around in the rubble of our grief for a while before we're ready to do it.
Yeah.
So this lady might have to scrabble around in the rubble of her grief and her sadness and her loneliness. But there'll come a time where we have to move on. So I would say to her, pull in all the resources that you can and try and learn to cope with the change and the sadness and grief. Again, emotional healing does this really well. If you could learn that, you will move on.
Okay.
It will get better.
I've one here that's just popped into us, and it's interesting in the context of what's going on with our housing crisis, because this listener says, I was told by my husband a year ago that our marriage was over. Always a poor communicator, but there was no discussion ever on helping the relationship over the years. We're still living in the same house. He has no interest in leaving. He says he has no issues. My main concern is what effect it will have on the children, who are all teenagers. I'd say a lot of people are in that situation because there's nowhere for people to go.
This is a great question, and it fits in with another question here, which we might look at here. My husband over 20 years has announced he's met someone, wants to separate. He's been having an affair for several years and says he cannot afford to move out. This is very difficult. Do you have any advice? They're almost identical, aren't
yes.
they? You know? So let's take these two questions, you know, and try and look at them. So to me, this is the ultimate nightmare. Do you know? you know, where a couple come to an agreement that a relationship is over, but are forced to live together. And what a terrible indictment of our country that our people cannot find homes. I find this very sad.
But for some people, Harry, this might be okay.
Yes, if it's a very amicable
relationship,
you know, and the agreement is, look, we just don't get on, but look, it's suiting us both at the moment to live out of the same property. That's great. But you take the situation here where this lady, for example, her husband's having an affair for years. He clearly wants to separate. So this relationship is over. So one of the advice I would have for this lady in particular was that I think she should very quickly, he wants a separation, I would go for a separation as quickly as possible. I would legalise whatever the decisions are going to be made about property or where you live or all
yes.
the rest of it. I would say to you, like, this relationship is over.
That still doesn't get him out of
but
the house.
But this doesn't
though.
Get him out of the house. So, but as part of the separation, you know, the whole business of what will happen in terms of property will come up. And that might solve the problem for, in both cases, yeah. by the way. Do you know what I mean? But I would, my boldness would say to me, well, if this man is so enamoured with his new beau, do you know what I mean? Maybe it's time for him to consider moving out and living with his new beau.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Which is an option in this situation.
So I take it you're not recommending that people who have decided to separate stay in the same house?
No. I'll tell you why. Because over the years, I have found that anger, resentment builds up, bitterness builds up, and we've been going on to another one here now in a second that deals with bitterness. So I would, if possible, mm-hmm. for people, try to move apart in terms of...
And completely. Right, we've time for one more. I'll go to this one. I think that's the one you're referring to, the one where they're separated for nearly 3 years, but this person can't move on, can't forgive my ex-husband, especially because his relationship with two of our three children is so bad.
Now, this to me is actually really, really important. And I think I touched on this the last day. This is about hurt. This girl is enormously hurt. And hurt, I'm going to just say it very simply, is the most corrosive acid we can put into ourselves. If you want to destroy yourself, go down the road of hurt. It will, the bitterness, the resentment, the hurt will tear you apart. And you will never be able to move on from your relationship. So the first thing I would say to you is that the reason you're not moving on is because you are living in the world of hurt. Now, hurt is a lovely place to be. I can blame everybody else. Mm-hmm. I can lash out all the time. I can blame my ex for the way I am. Instead of saying no, I can hold a grudge, because hurt is about holding the grudge. And that's what so many people when relationship breakups do. And it's so destructive of them. So I try to help people to say, look, you have to forgive the person. Even if you're free to be critical of their behaviour, do you know what I mean? You mightn't be happy with their decisions, their behaviour, and all that. But if you don't forgive the person, you're not taking a load off yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lovely way to get this across is the rucksack of rocks. So in other words, if you really are struggling in this area, put on a rucksack and fill it with heavy weights and go for a walk for an hour. By the time you come back, you'll be exhausted. Your back will be sore, and then take off the rucksack of rocks, and then you have this great lightness of feeling.
So you're only hurting yourself
if you carry this.
Yeah.
Remember, you're not hurting. The other person is not affected by this. So you're actually only allowing the other person to cause you even more problems. So what I would suggest, forgive the person, but feel totally free to maybe challenge their behaviour. And if you do that, you will move on.
Harry Barry, great advice as always. And thank you to everybody for getting in touch on that one. And if we get more and lots more, we will come back to it again. We won't rule that out. Now, though, let's go to the newsroom and to Brian Jennings.